With no football happening, it's the big arms of the NFL of tomorrow. Folks, this is the push-off. Okay, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Push-Off Podcast, your favorite weekly NFL show. Discusses everything that happened last week while getting you ready for the next. I'm your host, Scott Hogan, and joining us, as always, it's...
Dan, slinging it on these mean streets, right?
Dan, we are set up to do the quarterback deep dive. Everything's a deep dive that we do.
It really is.
Yeah. Into
like 4 hour long crime podcasts, but we get pretty close sometimes.
There you go. This one is all about we're down to the tape. We're watching the prospects coming in for the 2021 draft, and we start with the dessert this year with the quarterbacks. Because there's many, I think the previous couple years we leave the quarterbacks for the end. It's something for you to look forward to, but hey, you know what? 2020 was a very long year. Let's just jump right in and have some fun.
Yeah, and I like the way you described it. The quarterbacks are the dessert, because your team is going to, like, maximum draft one this year, you know? Whereas, like, corners and offensive linemen are the entree.
You know?
As you know, Scott, because you take a corner in every round, traditionally. You know, the only team I can remember taking two quarterbacks in a single year was the Washington Redskins taking RG3 and fucking Kirk Cousins. But aside from that, you usually get one a year, and you try to figure out if he might be your boy of the future, if he's a, you know, a clipboard Jesus, whatever that may be. But yeah, they really are. People think of them as the main course, but they are not. They are the dessert. If you don't have a good team, a good quarterback's not going to be able to go anywhere. If you've got a really good team without a good quarterback, it's going to feel pretty empty. I feel like the Chicago Bears are an excellent entree, and then your dessert is just like spray can cheese. And you're like, ah, fuck this. This ruined the whole meal.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. And the NFL, like most drafts this year, it looks like it's going to be very quarterback heavy up front. They love to take these quarterbacks early and show, you know, it's GMs, it's front office people showing their ownership. Look, we have a plan here. We got a guy for the future. Somebody will sell tickets. It's, you know, the next Andrew Luck that'll stick around kind of guy.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully more time in the saddle than Andrew.
And then, what's weird this year is how big these first round and these early quarterback draft picks always are. They're all getting moved. Everybody's switching around teams and stuff. There's not much to the news this week. The only big news that came out is this rumor that Russell Wilson didn't ask to be traded, but did give you a list of teams he'd like to be traded to if said trade came up. Like, that's what I did this week. I was like, you know what? I'm okay here in Seattle. I don't want to go anywhere. But if I did go somewhere, I'd like it to be the Saints or the Raiders or the Bears or the Jets.
Yeah, and my wife knows the order of supermodels I would want to bang if she decided to leave me. So just because somebody's got a fucking list doesn't mean it's happening.
Right.
You know, this is it's just one of those things. To that point, I'm sure Russell Wilson got a little – he's like, hey, I want to be more involved in personnel decisions. This is going to be the rest of my career. I don't want to be a one championship and done quarterback. You know, he knows that's kind of like frowned upon, even though they'd be made. Matt Ryan's like, I'll take it.
Yeah, there's a lot of quarterbacks.
Shit. Dan Marino signed the fuck up. But I think the funny thing is people go like, oh, well, he was lippy. You know, he was shitty about the front office, so maybe he wants to move. It's like if there was a beat reporter – in my house that set out a fucking, you know, couple paragraphs every time my wife and I got into a fight about our pending divorce, it would be rumors circulating constantly. You know, it's just part of it. It's part of the natural progression of relationships as you go like, I had a bad year. I got lit up a little bit. Yeah, I know we're trying. It hasn't worked, but we are trying to get you good players to be on the offensive line and relieve you. Sorry about drafting Rashad Penny, but aside from that, we are trying.
Yeah, Seattle isn't like he's wilting away there. Matt Stafford got out this year, and that's much more pressing than what's happening with Russell Wilson in Seattle. There's been some disappointing years, absolutely, but. You know, he'll be fine there. And yeah, I agree with you. I don't see him moving also this offseason. That's just a little too much for everybody. But speaking of a one-and-done QB, I'm going to use that as a segue to something else. Drew Brees. Is Drew Brees actually retiring? Because I'm seeing videos of him pushing sleds and pretending like he's still working out for a new season.
He has to.
Has to be.
I don't know if he's trying to get the world's most lucrative one-day contract to be in New Orleans Saints. Yeah, Drew Brees is done. If Drew Brees is not done, he's done with the Saints because they won't keep him around in the physical shape that he's in.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You know, the problem with all these hyper-competitive psychos is that a lot of times they can't let go when it's over. And Drew Brees is, you know, upper echelon hyper-competitive psycho. So I'm hoping that somebody from the Saints just walks by and goes, hey, buddy, it's not going to be here. And the way you are right now, it's not going to be anywhere. You're not pulling a Tom Brady.
Right.
You know, Tom Brady was still throwing fucking laser beams. It's just not working.
Yikes. Yeah, I'm interested to see when this retirement news comes, because I assume it's coming too. But, yeah, there's maybe the option that Drew Brees talks himself and some other front office into, I got another year under me, sign me up kind of thing. But, I mean, the Saints can't even afford to keep him around. I assume that they're looking at their books going, well, let's not count Drew's money or anything. Does he even have a contract on the book? I don't know what his deal is. Yeah.
So he'd be a free agent, but I wouldn't spend more. Now, here's the thing. If Drew Brees is like, I want to go somewhere, I'll get paid veteran minimum to go, you know, play for the Chicago Bears, to go play for a team that just needs a quarterback or a leader, that can be kind of appealing, but I just hope it doesn't happen. You know, it's like, go retire a Saint. Just be done with it.
Right.
You know, Tom Brady really did tarnish his legacy by going to the Buccaneers. Now, he helped it in part by going to the Buccaneers and winning another Super Bowl, but there's a part of it that's eternally tarnished. Like, he's no longer a lifetime Patriot.
You know? Well, so you're saying, I think the tarnished to, what, Patriots fans? Who else cares?
Yeah, Patriots fans. That's it. But that's okay. A huge section of the population that, you know, you're going to retire. You're going to spend the vast majority of your life as an ex-player.
True.
You know? Now, don't you want to go to a place that loves you and adores you, like, intimately than someone that you left with a bad taste in their mouth?
I don't know. And what came out of the people saying even like this week is that Tom Brady wanted to go there to show that he did what Peyton Manning could do too. And that 100% makes sense. And I think other quarterbacks would want to do that too. Drew Brees won one in New Orleans. Yeah, and was set up beautifully to win others at the end of his career and couldn't get it done. So going somewhere else to get it done, no, Drew, that was your shots. Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah.
Now, I think I disagree with the idea of like a tarnishment, like for Brady. The Patriots fans, sure, there's a few of them that are like, nah, Tommy should have stayed here. But he didn't do Brett Favre. He didn't go to the Jets. You know, he didn't stay within division and start beating up on your team, which everybody's already kind of, you know, a lot of people forgotten about for Brett Favre. So I think he's okay going to Tampa and proving it that way. Completely different conference. Like, even the Broncos and Colts, I mean, they met each other in the playoffs when it was Luck and Manning there. So that gets a little more different. Okay, the only other things I really have is I have Daniel Jeremiah came out and says that the combine would be basically, what, this week? In a week or two?
It would have been the end of this week.
Okay,
it would have been this week going into early March.
Would have been watching the combine, and I know you're missing it. But we might be on the crest of different things happening, like Daniel Jeremiah saying that he believes the 40-yard dash is probably 2 or 3 years away from just not being looked at anymore, and everybody will look at GPS speeds and stuff like that they can track from the college game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how fast are you on the field in game time with a ball in your hand? I don't really care when you're wearing the pajamas.
I think that's a good thing. Yeah, just Rich Eisen has to run the 40 for all of eternity, like Sisyphus. His times just keep going down and down. But, yeah, I think that's going to be eventually good. You're going to have enough biometric data on these players on the field that the combines are going to become a superfluous. I still want to occasionally see a guy flip his fucking hips, you know, and do that sort of shit. I want to see a guy in drills, but, yeah, the 40-yard dash oftentimes is just a technique thing. It's a thing guys like try for, but it doesn't expose any athleticism.
Yes, yeah.
You know, they talk about it for linemen where they're like, we don't really fucking care about the 40-yard dash. Give me the 10-yard split. But your 10-yard split, you can govern that and adjust that, you know, other ways.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, we're seeing a very different offseason, obviously, without a combine. All of the prospects aren't out there, and guys aren't helping or hurting their stocks as much this offseason. So it's really going to come down to these scouts and these front offices kind of deciding what they're looking for and who got their eye. I would assume boards look very different this year. Before we hit the QBs, a little bit on the television side, ABC is going to get back in the Super Bowl game. They have not aired a Super Bowl since 2006, but ABC, ESPN, the Monday Night Football crew, yes, they will be getting some Super Bowls in the next coming years.
That's good. It's good for Disney to get a win. It's been rough for them for the past
Yeah, years. They really need to get out there and get that money. And Amazon Prime is talking about taking over Thursday Night Football starting in probably about 2023.
I would be so fucking down for that. You have no idea.
Yeah.
The amount of times I'm doing shit on Thursday night where I was like, I could probably just watch this on my fucking phone. Because they've been doing it. They've been simulcasting it. And every time it's available on Amazon Prime, I'm like, yeah, let me watch this shit. I watch Amazon Prime Thursday Night Footballs. I don't watch NFL Network Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's on Prime, I'm not watching it.
Well, and if Prime does get this, they're talking about we'll go hire our own desk people. We'll have our own booth people. It won't be that shared thing with there. Yeah. Dan?
It's us. We should do it.
You and me? You want to do Amazon Prime? We'll see what they're paying.
I thought it was weird to point like this. No one can see. But yeah. This is odd. I just pointed at myself. But you know that means you and me.
Yeah. Well, okay. Fine. We'll call some Thursday night games for Prime if the money's right. Hey,
we'd be better at it than Hannah Storm. We're better at it than Mike fucking Tirico.
I haven't listened to a lot of... Oh, yeah, Tirico I don't like. I really don't like Tirico. All right, let's talk about the QBs then. Let's just jump right in. Let's talk about the QB prospects coming up for the 2021 seasons. Obviously, there's a lot of them. We picked 7. We're going to talk about 7 for you guys tonight.
We did. Normally, we talk about 12 prospects. Because we'll take 6 and 6 from each position group, but we've got quarterbacks alone, so we went a bit above 6.
Yeah, yeah. And you got 7, and it's just the QBs. It's plenty there. But, yeah, let's take a look and talk about who we got. Obviously, the one you got to talk about, this guy has been the top board for QBs over the last 2 seasons since taking over for starting QB of Clemson. It's Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence is not getting an elite grade.
Trevor Lawrence not getting the elite grade from Dan. Now, if you guys are first year people here, Dan gives out elite grades to the prospects, to the NFL prospects. It's not just QBs, any position. It's not a thing given out willy-nilly. He's pretty stingent on them. You've given out like 4 or 5 a year, it seems.
Yeah, I've never gone more than 4 in a year.
Oh, okay. Never more than 4.
The last year, I gave him out to Tristan Wirfs. I gave him out to CeeDee Lamb. Those are 2 guys that I gave the coveted elites to, and God, they worked it out. Mm-hmm. I think the first year we gave out the elites, this was that crazy Rosen Jackson, the big quarterback draft there. We didn't give a quarterback an elite grade. We gave it to Saquon Barkley, Denzel Ward, Bradley Chubb, and Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean... We do okay. We have a 100% success rate on elites, and I do not feel compelled to give an elite status to Trevor Lawrence, and I want to talk about why.
Okay, but before you do too, I think with the elite grades and what we got to talk about is, Yeah, what Dan's saying is obviously there's some players that are going to be elites that he didn't call elites.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson comes to mind. But we also don't look at absolutely every prospect out there and get a real gradient. Like, it's not our job to. This is a passion. Sure. It's a passion. So doesn't mean Trevor Lawrence won't become an elite. It's just that what you've seen and the eye is not willing to believe that that's what's going to happen.
Well, to me, the elite grade means I don't fucking care where you go. That's what elite means to me. This is not to say that Trevor Lawrence is not the best quarterback in this draft class, because, spoiler alert, he absolutely is, and it's by a wide margin.
Yeah.
It also doesn't mean that he might not be the second best quarterback prospect I've looked at in 4 or 5 years, because I think he is. But the difference between him and Joe Burrow is significant enough for me to feel weird about putting him in the same echelon as Joe Burrow from a film study standpoint.
All right. I'm interested in this.
Yeah. So Trevor Lawrence has a couple things going on that are fantastic. Number one, just pure body beautiful, like just size, the size on the fucking guy. He's 6'6". He's got a slender build, but he can add more muscle. Probably his playing weight is going to be around 240 pounds. I think right now he's clocking at maybe 230, but he's going to play at about 6'6", 240. That's a big motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's, you know, Peyton Manning was that size, but Trevor Lawrence has speed.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence has mobility. Now, this is something that is getting way too much, like, love, I think. Trevor Lawrence is not Russell Wilson out of the pocket.
No,
Trevor Lawrence is not Kyler Murray out of the pocket. Trevor Lawrence is a mobile quarterback who is not as mobile as Joe Burrow was. That's the difference. Lawrence will be able to run at the next level, but he's not going to be able to run with the same level of efficiency. I didn't think he was, like, a particularly shifty runner in the open field. But one of the things I did like about him is he's a big body and he would lower his shoulder on a motherfucker from time to time. And I like that.
Yeah.
I like to see a quarterback also be a football player.
He's a
blocks for wide receivers.
Yeah, he's a galloper out there. You're right. I think it's the stride of that 6'6" that makes him look much faster. Yeah. He can outrun some defenders, but there's going to be a lot of super fast ones on the pro level that's going to shorten that gap for him. That's true. Yeah, go ahead.
So let's talk about some of the things he does really, really well. His release is lightning quick. It is a phenomenal release. That ball, as soon as he decides, that ball is the fuck out. And it's strange because he doesn't have that sort of like Tedford, you know, snap release. He actually has a bit of a windup, but it's so quick through the windup that it hasn't been an issue. You know, it's not going to be telegraphing any throws. It's not going to give defenders a really great opportunity to get that ball batted away. It's a nice, tight, compact delivery. Little quick loop, gets it the fuck out of there. Trevor Lawrence is not a four-pane window thrower. We've used this analogy before of a guy that can hit all four panes on a window. Trevor Lawrence is like a half-window guy. And to me, that's the big difference. And you will see some throws on Trevor Lawrence where you're like, ooh, you missed that shit? Like, he misses throws you are not allowed to miss at the second level, and throws that if you miss that way will get picked off at the next level. And that's just the big difference. There, he throws a beautiful deep ball, deep ball, as long as it's on time and on rhythm. Otherwise, he does have a tendency to muscle that shit a little bit, and his footwork is going to need a little bit of tightening up. It's just going to need a little bit of cleaning because he's still a guy that sometimes gets caught in between a run stance and a throw stance. And the transition isn't always clean. Plus accuracy, plus arm strength. He doesn't exactly have a fucking howitzer. There are better arms in this draft class as well. But Joe Burrow didn't have a fucking cannon, so that's not a big knock. He can make all of the throws at the next level. But this is a guy that if you have to stand him further back than the 50 for a Hail Mary, he's heaving that bitch. You know, it's...
I've noticed that too. With these rookie quarterbacks, a lot of them, when they're asked to throw the deep touch pass, it's a rainbow. And there's a few of his that are like that. And the problem with those is they come up underthrown. And then those are the ones get picked or the receivers getting injured going back for him. The other thing, though, with him is he can put the 25-yarder on a rope still. So he doesn't have to do that much unless you're asking him to Hail Mary it. Loved how confident and poised he was in the pocket, and most of these guys we talk about kind of are, but Rushers coming in. Clemson didn't look like it had the best of lines, especially last year. And it didn't like it phase him either. It was like timed passes. I see my routes. I see my reads. I'm going to get it out. Whether they're in coverage or not, I have confidence that I'll hit them. Or I'll just run it, tuck it and run it. And that's how I saw him.
Yeah, this is a guy that, you know, you got to remember the year he won the national championship as a freshman.
Yeah.
Christian Wilkins was on the defensive line.
Yes.
That Clemson defensive line was disgusting. It was so good. It was unreal. And the offensive line was pretty good, too. His defensive and offensive line kept getting worse as his career went on, but he kept the Clemson team competitive. Mm-hmm. If he had had the same influx of talent that Deshaun Watson had throughout his career, I think we'd be maybe having a different conversation. Maybe we're talking about a two-time national championship, Trevor Lawrence. Mm. But instead, he's going to leave as a junior without that second trophy, but that's perfectly fine. He had a great collegiate career. And
yeah.
People overinflate this idea of like, wow, that quarterback's a winner. It's like, well, yeah, he is, but his talent got worse. He's going to go to an NFL team that isn't going to have fantastic talent in the Jacksonville fucking Jaguars. But at the same time, he's going to be able to help that team rebuild. I do also like his confidence. He doesn't seem like a guy that's going to get shaken by a couple bad outings. Because he's a natural thrower. He's a natural quarterback. And that's something that I like to see.
Yep. I wouldn't knock him too much for not winning the other one. He took the team to the national championship, and he played a Ohio State team that played 3-4 less games than Clemson in the year. 2020, man, college football.
I'm talking about his second year. His sophomore year they went.
Yes, his junior year is what just ended, right?
Yeah, but his sophomore year they lost to Joe Burrow at LSU.
Oh shoot, that's right. Okay, so yeah, he went there three times and won once. Is that right?
Yeah. He went there twice and
Once. Lost in the semi.
This last year, and we'll talk about it because both of these quarterbacks are coming up with Mac Jones and Justin Fields. Yeah. But so these were our championship contenders this year. Trevor Lawrence was in it his freshman and sophomore year.
And I watched the semi in it because I wanted to see, too, like, well, how's Lawrence playing from behind? They fell behind there, and you could start putting pressure on him. Still looked good, still in a lot of the throws. Yeah, we get nitpicky when we talk about, the downsides of his stuff, but there might be a little bit to Clemson having a very good team around him for his success. So calling it just because he's a winner is not one thing or another. This is one of the most hyped quarterbacks since Andrew Luck, guy that has been talked about for a couple years leading up to his draft. There really wasn't a QB last year, and you gave Joe Burrow a league grade that was as hyped as him. So what's the difference here? Why are why are the other pundits so big on Lawrence for a couple years, and Joe Burrow was a surprise until the last year?
Well, because Joe Burrow didn't put it together entirely.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Burrow was a guy that, for the same reason that Drew Brees went in the second round, because he was still a year or two away from putting it all together. And sometimes that'll happen. You know, it's the same thing with a growth spurt on a guy when he's in high school or when he's in college. And he, you know, fucking, what's his nuts? Josh. Buffalo. Josh Allen. Man. Josh Allen was a guy that in high school was like 6'2", and he weighed like 200 pounds. And then, you know, as a freshman, he became like 6'5", 240. And, you know, it came later for him.
Okay.
With a guy like Joe Burrow, he languished and suffered behind, you know, not being the guy. He was a guy that needed to get into a game to prove he had the shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then something clicked in his senior year, and then that you saw that on tape all year. You're like, oh, my God, this guy's just ripping people apart. Trevor Lawrence, the reason why he feels very safe, and he is very safe, is you go, okay, I've got 3 years of tape on this guy in the SEC.
Yep.
ACC, apologies, but he played a lot of SEC teams. So you've got 3 years of tape on a guy in a pretty competitive conference on a team that plays a relatively pro-style set. And you go, worst case scenario, he's going to be a quality starter. Because that's the one thing you don't want to do. If you don't want to miss on a fucking quarterback. It's okay if you didn't get the, you know, upper echelon fucking guy, but you need a guy that can at least be a starter. You need a top 15 guy if you're not going to get that. If you're not going to get the guy, if you're not going to get one of the faces in the NFL, you need a top 15 guy.
And yeah, and he could still become a face. We'll see. I think you're right. It's Jaguars all the way. First overall pick. That's why, you know, their new coach is coming there. He's been on the field for the pro day in Clemson. It's all about Trevor Lawrence coming to Jacksonville. I tried to do the NFL QB comparisons for these QBs we're talking about. The comparison that was brought up here is not a current QB. They're comparing him to John Elway.
He's not as athletically gifted as John Elway. Nor does he
when
have
Elway came in. Yeah.
Yeah. When Elway came in, people forget that Elway was like plus Josh Allen level athleticism with a Josh Allen level arm and with Joe Burrow level accuracy. Like, John Elway was a fucking freak. People should stop invoking the name of John Elway when it comes to a prospect standpoint, because it's fucking disgusting. Like,
we'll see. We'll see if he gets that. Where would you be his comparison be with what you saw of him?
My closest comparison, honestly, is Andrew Luck.
Okay.
He's Andrew Luck with less size. Andrew Luck was an elite prospect to me.
You say less size, bulk, because not height. Yeah,
less humanity. You know, Andrew Luck was 260 pounds and it was pure steel. Whereas Trevor Lawrence has a body that still feels like a college body. Andrew Luck always felt like he had a pro body even as a sophomore. And I thought that Luck's accuracy was far superior to Lawrence as well. But Andrew Luck is probably my closest parallel. One, for just the play style. Two, for the level of hype. And three, for the amount of time under scrutiny. So I think Andrew Luck's a decent parallel.
All right. Well, we'll see Trevor Lawrence. He'll have James Robinson in the backfield, but that Jaguars team's going to need to build around him for a few years.
Pretty good wide receivers. They need some help on the offensive line, but you got LaVisca Chenault. He's doing okay. You got DJ Chark. He's a deep threat still. So
those are the young guys that they are kind of leading with. That's true. So we'll see how they do. All right. Well, let's move on to the next guy. Who do you wish to talk about next in this QBs?
My number two prospect.
In order?
Yeah, I'm going to do them in order. My number two prospect, Zach Wilson, BYU.
All right, the BYU guy's number two. I think it's, from what I've seen, him and Justin Fields are the guys everyone's talking about. But I watched the guy from Brigham Young, and he looked pretty good. 6'3", 209.
Yeah, he's a little slender.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little petite. I don't think he's 6'3", either.
Yeah, a little bit short in that.
Yeah, he gives me a ton of Tony Romo vibes,
okay.
Except he's got a better arm. He's absolutely got a fucking gun.
See, I put down Baker Mayfield as the comparison.
I like that. I like that. I think
Bayfield.
What about Bayfield? I think Baker Mayfield was probably more athletic.
This guy's not fast, saying, though.
He's fast, but I'm saying like Baker Mayfield was a guy that would get out and get shifty, whereas I feel like Wilson is a guy that will run that shit,
mm-hmm.
But he's more like scrambling in the pocket. He'd rather make the throw. His footwork on the move is excellent.
Yeah.
His ability to find that second, to find another platform in transition is really, really good. So it's a guy that you look at and you go, well, maybe if our offensive line's kind of shit, we can move him out. And
that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Zach Wilson. I don't want to say that his arm abilities and stuff is anything near Mahomes, but it's almost like he's been watching him the last few years and goes, oh, you can get away with that? All right, then I'm going to try something. Like, yeah, buying time and out there behind the line of scrimmage and a little sidearm throws if he needs to. That's what this guy likes to do.
Yeah, so like I said, for me, it's a Romo feel.
Okay.
He's also got that stupid BYU quarterback thing where he wears the headband like he's Jim McMahon. but he's a guy that there's a couple things I like about him from his history. One, he suffered through injuries, suffered through shoulder injuries, suffered through hand injuries, and was a guy that actually retooled a lot of his mechanics in the offseason going into his junior year, really hoping to be able to elevate his stock.
Okay.
And I think he's done – sorry, his senior year, my apologies. He was eligible to be drafted in his junior year. He decided to come back. The arm talent is fantastic. The athleticism is plus. The accuracy is actually pretty good.
Make sure.
Anyway, Zach Wilson is like a Tony Romo with slightly less accuracy than Romo at his peak. But yeah, in terms of athleticism, in terms of running ability, he's really a plus athlete. He's a guy with a ton of film. He's had years as the starter. He was the youngest starter in BYU history, which is actually not really surprising because most BYU starters are like 24 after their mission. but he was only 19 years old when he was the starter at BYU. That's really impressive. And they've got a strong history of really talented throwers of the football. Yeah. But I like what he's put on tape. I like his progression year over year. I think he is going to need to add size. He's going to need to hit the fucking weight room, and I hope it doesn't limit his athleticism, but he's got to add size and bulk, especially with injured shoulders or, you know, the proclivity towards shoulder and soft tissue injuries.
Love his arm. Again, he's throwing on the line for 25 yards. He can be accurate with unbalanced throws because his arm's so strong, and he kind of relies on that sometimes. I think that means that his footwork kind of lacks because he believes that the arm a little bit too much in that. But and he wasn't so much a QB of note until this last season. Like there wasn't a lot of Zach Wilson talk until 2020.
Well, there was talk about his arm talent.
Okay.
There was. I mean, it was a guy that you're like, wow, you got to see that kid out of BYU. He's got a fucking cannon. I hope he can put it together.
Okay.
He was a guy he spent some time this offseason really working his mechanics with the same guy that helped Dak Prescott kind of put it together. John Beck, he's actually a former BYU quarterback, who is a, you know, kind of washed out in Miami, but I think Miami drafted him when he was 28 years old. It was fucking insane.
I remember John Beck, yes.
Remember John Beck? Yeah. Yeah. But John Beck has now gotten into coaching and basically is now a quarterback guru, and he's done a really good thing here for Wilson as well. I don't think he's a guy that if you take him in the top five, you're going to be happy with it, but he might move up into the top five because people get quarterback needy and they start reaching, but yeah. I don't think he's a top 10 talent. I think he's a first round talent. I just don't think of him as like a top 10 quarterback prospect. Top 15, I think he's better than Daniel Jones was coming out. I think he's got a better arm. I thought Daniel Jones read the field about as well as he does, and I think they're probably in the same species athletically, even though Daniel Jones is a bigger body. But for me, the current comparable is Daniel Jones with plus arm strength.
Yeah, I see Zach Wilson reading the field, it seems like, and working through his progressions, and that's nice to see from the young quarterbacks. He is, second or third QB going from this draft, and do the highway QBs go, and the teams that might still need him at the time of the draft at the end of April, which is so up in the air this year, it's crazy, so a lot of this can change, but I think he's going in the top 10, whether he is a top 10 talent or not, because he's a QB, he's a sexy new QB.
I do want to add one thing because we're going to talk, and this is going to be the difference. The reason why I made him number two as opposed to number three.
With Justin Fields.
When you blitz Zach Wilson, Zach Wilson goes understood and makes a decision with this new information. Mm-hmm. He doesn't panic.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Because he's used to getting blitzed, you know, whereas do you want to transition right into it?
Yep. Yeah, go for it.
As our number three quarterback, Justin Fields out of Ohio State University, does not take to being blitzed very well. In fact, it kind of shatters the boy, which that's always tough to watch. And an elite grade prospect not handle the blitz well. It was a thing that for me pushed Jimmy Garoppolo down into like the second or third round because I was like, oh, he doesn't handle blitz in his fag. No quarterback. And let's get this out of the way. Right. No quarterback loves being blitzed up the middle. In fact, I think if you put it on a top 10 list of things quarterback hates, it's probably in the top two or three. Nobody likes getting blitzed up the center. But there are quarterbacks that can throw out of it. There's quarterbacks that can make decisions. And then Justin Fields, who basically just shuts down and starts like going spaz robot if you get solid pressure up the middle. And you could see that in the Ohio State game against the captain of all interior pressure in Nick Saban. Just kind of sicking the dogs on the guy.
Yeah, Justin Fields, basically same size as Zach Wilson, but more muscle. He's 228, he's a bigger body guy. Yeah, and he's got good speed. This is also he's a strong passer, good accuracy, even on the run. Cool in the pocket, too, as long as the pocket holds up. But you're right, pressure on him. I think he has a hard time of knowing when to get rid of the ball. So instead he thinks he can scramble out of it, which sometimes he can. Yep. The comparison to the NFL is like a smaller sized Cam Newton.
I would say Dak Prescott's probably a good parallel for him.
Dak Prescott could be one, a good one too. He can break tackles on scrambles and stuff like that. Once he gets out of there, he's kind of runs like a running back pretty well. And he played in pain. He took a shot in the side and threw 6 touchdown passes in that championship. So, or the semi, whatever. Yeah, so guy knows how to play through some shit, so that's good. But, yes, there were a lot of things that I watched on him, and I'm like, I want to like this better than I do right now. And one of them was I thought he stared down who he wanted to go to. He's very much like I'm a one-read guy. Maybe I'll run it after that, but some of these passes, he's just waiting for his guy to go in there, and he's stomping his feet. And yeah, I don't know. I question how he read his progressions.
So I think you pay for that very badly if you're not as accurate as he is. And he does actually have really good accuracy.
Yeah.
He's not, like I said, not a four-quarter window guy. We don't have one of those, but he's a half-window guy. He's got a really good arm. Doesn't necessarily throw with the best anticipation, because to your point, he's kind of looking at you and he's just like, it's like skeet shooting, you know?
Yeah.
Where instead of being like, oh, I think that's where it's going to be, he's like, no, I fire it now. That's my fucking opening. That's my window. And I think he's going to pay for that at the next level, because if you do mark that down, a safety is going to be like, got your ass, and snatch that ball away. Whereas Justin Fields, because he's so much more athletic, because the ball speed that he has is so good, because his accuracy is so plus, he's getting away with that sort of stuff, and he's going to pay for it at the next level.
Yeah.
The way you don't pay for that is by standing in the pocket, making a good decision, throwing with anticipation, and if he gets pressure up the middle, he's just like, fuck this, I'm too athletic for this, I'm out of here, I'm going to do something else. So he's going to need to, I don't want to call it fear, I don't think it's fear. He also doesn't have a ton of, like, you know, starting experience.
Right.
You know, he came on basically the middle of last year, and, you know, was a very good starter for them, and then he played a half a season this year. So there's not a ton of tape. I mean, it's better than Dwayne Haskins. I think he's going to be definitely a more productive player than Dwayne Haskins. And,
yeah,
you know, as long as he's not obsessed with strippers, he'll have a much better career. But Justin Fields is not a guy that I would, like, pound on the table and be like, this is our fucking future leader. Can't go anywhere else. I'd be like, this is a guy that we can take in the top 20 and feel comfortable with, but this is not a guy I want to take in the top 5.
Yeah, I'd be a little worried about him in that area, too. Again, he might go top 10, though. Just depends on what the team's there and what they want, or trade up for the guy. He'll be a first-round pick. He'll be a first-day pick. I really believe that.
And he should
Yes, I think he should be, too. Yeah, great accuracy, great arm strength. Like, basically our knocks are like, I don't know, with the right coach, he could be amazing in the
level. It's Dak Prescott.
Yes, Dak Prescott. There you go. I think his arm release is great. But for some reason, it looks like his feet need to be timed up with it, and that slows it down. It's like this pound, throw the pass thing. Like, I got to line my feet up to throw this ball feeling. He doesn't have to. He's got great arm strength. I think he can still get it there, but it's something built in there.
He's an arm thrower, too. You know, he's going to – the upside on Justin Fields is tremendous. It's tremendous. If you can get a guy in and go – okay, let's work on these mechanical things. Let's get you more comfortable with the rush. I think he has a higher ceiling than Trevor Lawrence, honestly. You know, and so that's something that when you go, oh, Trevor Lawrence is the number one overall pick, we're talking about Justin Fields as a guy with a higher ceiling.
Right.
But needs work, needs a very successful offensively minded coach to come in here and do all the things you need to do, or very much could wash out of the NFL in a couple years if he can't stand the blitz and he can't get his footwork corrected and he can't stop throwing to guys that he's just watching you go through your route.
Right.
So, like I said, that's the difference between being a safe prospect like Trevor Lawrence and being a guy that Justin Fields that has all of the ability in the world but probably needs to go mid-first round and get a little bit of time to rework his shit.
And I think I'm with you here. So before we move on from Justin Fields, we said at the top that Trevor Lawrence is head and tails above the rest of these quarterbacks in this draft. He's definitely up there as the top one. Then I think there's another section down where it's these two guys, Fields and Wilson. Yeah. You're as a front office guy, you'd probably be okay going, well, yeah, Wilson looks good. He's got all this stuff, but we want Fields' ability to do X, Y, and Z, and he can do those things better than Wilson maybe can. So there you go. Then I think there's another big drop down before we get to the next guys after these three. Looking at the draft order, just because I pulled it up, and the top 10, maybe I'm pulling the gun on these quarterbacks a little too fast. Maybe these quarterbacks don't get picked super fast this year. We know Jacksonville is at number one, and they'll take care of Lawrence probably, but Jets. Should. Yeah, Jets here at two. There's a lot of quarterbacks in the league now that are talking about going there. Sam Darnold is not that old. They don't have to take a QB at that second overall pick. Miami's three, and we know they're not in love with Tua, but you're going to take another QB that early right now? I don't know. Yeah, Atlanta at four would have to be picking for the future with Matt Ryan there. Cincinnati's not picking a QB. They got Joe Burrow. The Eagles, heck, anything they could do surprised me now, but you just have Jalen Hurts there, and I don't know if you want to start with that mess. Detroit, you brought Goff in here at seven. Carolina at eight. That's about the point where I'm like, there you go, Carolina. You got to take one of these two guys, Wilson or Fields, if they're still there. Denver at nine, your Cowboys at 10. So there's the top 10 of the draft right now before trades and stuff that'll move this around inevitably before the late April.
I really do feel like it's Lawrence, and then unless somebody comes up and jumps Carolina, Carolina's the next place a quarterback goes. I don't think Atlanta is going to take a quarterback where they are.
They don't need to. There's so much other good stuff that they could do there. Well, that being said, Atlanta shouldn't spend it on another receiving threat right now.
No, not right now. But I mean, there's really good offensive linemen that are going to be available. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of dudes. This kid Slater out of Northwestern, Penei Sewell's, you know, these are guys that are going to fall down just because there are so many good wide receivers this year. There's so many good corners this year. So you're going to have, like, this is a deep draft. It's a good deep draft. If you need a quarterback and you're in the 20s, you got to feel pretty good.
Yeah.
If you need a quarterback and you're in the top five, you got to be like, Trevor Lawrence isn't there. There's no reason for us to.
Yeah. What? You know, yeah. Do I feel that comfortable with one of these guys? That's a very good point. You try to start talking yourself into it, I think, if you are sitting there. But number five is the Bengals, and you don't have to. Congrats, Cincy. Okay. Who's your number four guy on this list?
So my number four guy is Mac Jones. And I don't see the difference between Mac Jones and Justin Fields and Zach Wilson as being so wide.
Okay.
I don't. I think he showed me some interesting things. I think he showed me like a Joe Burrow light. Mm-hmm. Obviously doesn't have the same level of accuracy, obviously isn't as athletic, but this is a guy that I think would probably be like a late first round pick.
Yeah.
And to that point, you'd be like, I feel like this guy is going to be one of those starters, you know, maybe never five guy, maybe never one of the elite of the elites. And I don't think he can be. He doesn't have the arm strength for it, doesn't really have the mobility for it, but there were some plays watching this dude play quarterback for Alabama, who traditionally doesn't let the quarterback completely off the fucking chain. You know, the thing about Tua was that Tua could run and he created problems for him. Mac Jones ain't going fucking nowhere.
Nope. He's a pocket. Yeah.
Mac Jones was like, just give me enough protection. And the speed at which he went through his progressions, watching him on film, I was like, this is pro ready. This dude is pro ready at the speed he's going through these progressions. Because I would see him pop 1, 2, 3 progressions, and he's still inside of 3 seconds.
Great.
And I was like, for a quarterback who with really only a year of starting experience, that's phenomenal. Does a really good job. Nice compact delivery. It's got a little bit of a lilt to it, but it comes out with a decent enough speed. I think if you're throwing anything inside the 20, he's got the ability to make that throw. He'll make it with anticipation. He's another half window guy. You know, pretty good accuracy there. I think what he lacks in his athleticism and arm strength, he makes up for in smarts and intellect, which is good. I think he's a smarter reader of the football than Zach Wilson is. I think he probably is in the same species with Justin Fields in terms of his ability to read it. I thought Fields actually did pretty good. People don't talk about how well Fields actually read the ball or read the field. But he was pretty good, pretty analytical guy. I just don't see this guy being a plus athlete. So it's hard to get your fan base excited about a guy that's like, he's going to come in here and best case scenario, he's Phillip Rivers.
Yeah,
that's the best case scenario for me. I saw Phillip Rivers this whole time.
Okay, I can see that. I put the comparison down as Matt Ryan, pocket, big pocket QB stand there. His arm's about the same, honestly. Real good accuracy and strength.
It's about the same now.
Yes.
When Matt Ryan came out, it was a good arm. Matt Ryan's arm has fallen off. I think they're in the same species now. So, like I said, Matt Ryan was a top three pick.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Jones does not deserve to be a top three pick, but he deserves to be a first rounder.
He very efficient stats with Alabama. You're right, he doesn't scramble much, but his pocket awareness is very good, that he just kind of buys the time. I still, though, believe he needs a pretty good offensive line to succeed in the NFL. If it's a porous one, if he's running for his life, he's not somebody that can improvise plays. He's a timed, like you say, most of these guys are system quarterbacks. Yeah. This guy very much, these are timed routes. He just uses his outlet if it's not there, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that's very smart. That's what, God, so many of these coaches are probably like, perfect, give me a guy like him because I can just work him the way I do every quarterback in the way with him. And he could succeed. If you're taking him at the end of the first round, which I do believe that there's a very good chance of that with him this year, then there's a threat of, he's a first-round quarterback. We got to get him on the field. Treat him like Jordan Love. Give him some time back there. I don't think he needs to get out there.
I hope the Packers draft him.
Oh, my God.
Fucking great.
Aaron Rodgers is like, I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on.
What do you want me to do?
Right. But there's a lot of other teams down there at the end that would have an opportunity to love to take a shot at him. I believe that. So, yeah, Mac Jones. What else do I see about this guy? You don't want him throwing it on the run either. He needs to set his feet and put some accuracy behind that kind of thing.
And Matt Ryan could do that coming out. That's why I don't put him in the Matt Ryan stratosphere. Phillip Rivers to me feels right. I want to say year four Phillip Rivers, maybe after he had the knee surgery.
Okay.
Where you're like, oh, you're not quite as mobile as you used to be. He's like, nah, I don't fucking scramble, man. I just sling this bitch.
So the next quarterback I'm assuming we're going to is obviously because this guy's been talked about in the first round as well. And even though the counterpart from this college just got traded off to another school, the North Dakota State guy has to be our next one.
He definitely is. It's funny because I think we're talking about these guys in pods. You know, we're talking about Trevor Lawrence is in his own pod. We're talking about Zach Wilson and Justin Fields in their own pod. And then we're talking about Mac Jones and Trey Lance out of North Dakota State University in their own pods. I think if you took the mind and anticipation and footwork of Mac Jones and put it in the body of Trey Lance, we'd be talking about the number one overall prospect in the NFL.
Mm, yeah, okay. Because they're very different QBs that bring their own excellence to the game. That's true.
Trey Lance, I think the closest comparison I can make for him is Josh Allen.
That's what everybody's been saying, like a mini Josh Allen.
He's like a mini Josh Allen, doesn't quite have the body, mm-hmm. Not quite as big, not as strong of an arm.
More Josh Allen that came into the league, the one that we were questioning then, the Josh Allen that isn't already now.
Exactly. I have Trey Lance with a second round grade. I would not take Trey Lance in the first round at all, at any pick. Okay. If you gave me a free 32nd overall pick with which to do what I want to do, I would not take Trey Lance.
Okay.
I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing it. His footwork is atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
He's got major accuracy issues. This is a window guy. You know, the one thing I'll give him over Josh Allen is when Josh Allen came into the NFL, he couldn't hit the window. Trey Lance can hit the window, but you'll see him miss wide open dudes. Wide open fucking guys. And you just go, oh, I can see why. Your footwork is fucking terrible. You know, you're off pace, you're off timing. But then you will also see this guy run And when you see him run, you go, oh, I know why people were talking about you as a first-round draft pick. You're a fucking horse.
Yeah.
Trey Lance will just run motherfucker over. You know, he's running dudes over that play against San Diego or South Dakota State University. North Dakota State University, my apologies.
Same division. Yep. Okay. Midwestern Valley Conference, I think, yeah.
So I think he is exhibiting talent in an area where he is clearly the most talented player on the field at all times. And because of that, he's like, well, I want to throw to open dudes only. I never saw him make challenge throws to coverage. Yeah. Just didn't happen. If the guy didn't have like three steps, he was not pulling the trigger. He was running. And that's
you're right. You can do in the NFL. Yeah, you're right. It was one or two looks and then pull it down and run. Quick release when he did throw it, and he's got the arm where he can throw it on the run like that too, where, yeah, the footwork isn't a problem with that because he's like, I'm just going to get it in that area while I'm moving. But, yeah, only 17 games against not great competition, so that's a worry too. And the running game was such a big part of his college game. He's not an accelerating out of the backfield, get away from a guy type of runner. It's a downhill run a la – Tractor Cito type of thing. It's like he gets speed once he gets going kind of thing. And I've seen him like beat out a guy along the corner and race down the sidelines. I was like, oh, wow, I didn't think he had that top speed. But he does if you give him that chance. It's just he's got to get that chance first. Yeah. Otherwise, he's just, downhill type of runner.
Speed 94, acceleration 62.
Yes, you know, yes. Like, when you're looking at the map.
I got to get to the gear.
But then he's going.
The funny thing is, his release is okay to me, because he does have that loping delivery. There were a couple of plays I watched against, Central Arkansas, where he had a great game, but early on in the game, before he ever got into a rhythm, they were getting pressure on him, and they were batting the ball out of his hands because it was this loping delivery. He couldn't get it out quick enough. But I think he's another guy that you go, hey, we didn't take this guy in the first round. We took him in the second round. We've got an established starter. I feel really good about him in the second round with a year or two to wait and see. Strangely enough, I think he'd actually be excellent on the Colts. You basically go, all right, well, Carson Wentz coming out was way better than Trey Lance was. Yeah. Way better. Yeah. Way more accurate. You know, Trey Lance hasn't lost a fucking game in college, though. We got to remember that.
Right.
The dude just came in, had an undefeated year, won the championship for North Dakota State University, and then had one game and was like, peace out. I'm going to the draft. It didn't make a ton of sense for him to do that. Like, the film, you weren't going to change anybody's fucking mind. I think this guy is definitely a good pick in the second round. If you have to come and get him in the first, you've spent too much.
Okay. There's a very good chance he still does go in that first, though. QBs, keep an eye out for that. But, yeah, I think you're right. Trey Lance, Mac Jones, would be very interesting to see if people pick one over the other by quite a big margin or not. I just have a feeling they're going to be picked around the same spot. We did his comparison. Oh, he is a guy that never, and a lot of these quarterbacks really don't, but he was one I noticed, at least didn't notice, ever lined up under center. And I think that's something for a lot of these QBs, they almost have to learn it for the pro level. And it's becoming less and less for pro too, even. But is that a knock on any of these quarterbacks coming out that they don't line up under center ever?
I don't really adjust to that anymore because more and more in the NFL, they're like, what can you do?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that. Like, let's, you know, the reason why they're not letting QBs sit is because they're like, what can you do? What's your skill set? What's your raw skill set? Guy we just spent a first-round pick on? Cool. Get in the fucking game. Let's go. Spending too much money to not find out. Whereas it used to be like, oh, what can you do really well? Great. Learn my system, motherfucker. Get good at what I do. Now they're like, what do you do well? And it works for guys like Lamar Jackson, where you go, you've got this rare freak ability. Let's just change the offense to whatever the fuck you do. And then you have other guys that it doesn't really work for, like Sam Darnold, where they're like, Darnold, you got to learn the system. He's like, but the system keeps changing. They're like, learn it. Fuck you. The NFL is changing in that respect. I think if you can take advantage of a guy like Trey Lance because you run a system that can take advantage of his skills, I think that's going to put you in a great a great situation. That's why I would love to see the Colts actually invest a second round pick in it. Maybe not this year, but next year I think it'd be hilarious.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll see where Trey Lance goes in the draft here at the end of April. There's two QBs left to discuss. Who's the next one on your list?
It is out of Florida, Kyle Trask.
What a name, Kyle Trask.
Yeah, it's very
another
very
big QB too, 6'5", 239.
Feels like Mason Rudolph all over again.
Really?
He really does. I mean, that's the Kyle Trask is not a guy that I'm like, oh, well, this guy can't wait till he gets in the NFL. He's going to tear shit up. This is a guy that like doesn't move well in the pocket. He's pretty accurate when he can set his feet, but you know, if you get pressure on him, he's like, oh fuck, and starts making bad decisions.
He kind of showed up surprisingly for Florida, just up kind of late. It's like you said, it's a deep quarterback draft, and I think this guy too. I was kind of surprised. I was like, oh well, he's not hapless back there, and he's winning games against with a Florida team that was kind of coming into their own. I put his comparison as Ryan Tannehill with less deep accuracy than even Tannehill had. And Tannehill was a little bit more mobile even too than Trask is. Trask likes to run. I don't think he should. There's a lot of these plays for Florida that was like QB draw, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, unless it's a 2 yard, I need a first down on this sneak or something.
Well, that's some credit I will give him. They actually talked about it in Florida. In Florida, you don't have to be a good runner, but you have to be an eager runner at the quarterback position. They actually had a guy who's coming out this year who Trask won the starting job from because of an injury, a guy named Felipe Franks.
Yeah.
Who is also coming in this year. We have him below Kyle Trask, but still, you know, might get drafted somewhere in the fourth or fifth round.
That guy was in last or 2019 until about week 3, and then he got hurt, and then Trask did give the starting position back to him once he got healthy, right? Trask just
and then played. He transferred. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I think one of the things that is nice about Trask is he's a big body guy and he's willing to run. Mm-hmm. It's just I'm not impressed by his ability to run when he does.
Okay.
But he is a guy that will be like, let me throw a fucking shoulder into you, middle linebacker. And you like that. You like that at the quarterback position. It puts a guy in the conversation, in my mind, to the third round. A guy like Kyle Trask is a guy you could feel comfortable taking in the third because you go, worst case scenario, he's going to be a clipboard Jesus. I don't think his arm talent is elite. I thought his accuracy was pretty good in the pocket if he's got time and protection. But if you smoke him out of the pocket, you get him off his spot, it all falls apart. He's very mechanical in that way. He's like if you taught a guy who was 6'5", 250, that you go, this is how you throw a ball and don't throw it any other way. That's kind of Kyle Trask, you know? Yeah. And he feels like a guy that made himself into a quarterback, but didn't make himself into an athletic quarterback. Does that make sense?
Yes, he lacks that mobility, but he'll still run. And then I think he can be a bit indecisive. He holds that ball for a bit, got him looking around the field, and that can make him susceptible to fumbles. You're going to be standing in the pocket and not be aware of the pressure kind of thing. I also noticed, too, maybe his stance looked super wide. Like, he stands there with his legs open quite a bit.
Yeah, especially for a guy his size.
Yeah.
It is a little bit, because if that's what he's – and it seems like he kind of is. If that's what he's generating is torque and throw, you're never going to be able to get to that fucking stance in the NFL. You've got to narrow your base as a 6'5" quarterback. Drop your knees, narrow your base. You've got to. And that thing's got to fucking, you know, torque and unwind on you, but you can't – be sitting there with that wide athletic base just slinging the fucking rock. You're going to get off your spot. You're not going to be able to handle interior pressure because his drop back isn't smooth. You know, to your point, him not being athletic, I would see the guy do like 3-step drops and they're on him.
Yeah.
You know, I'd see him do a 5-step drop and, you know, he's throwing off his back foot on the 5th step every time because he can't get there.
Or his drop backs, are like, I know I've got to go this far back, and it's like, you don't have that time. Maybe your routes are supposed to go that long, but you don't have that time. So, Trask is going to take some learning and some success around him to be successful, I think. But, again, I wouldn't surprise me if all of a sudden it's like, oh, Pittsburgh took him in the third round, and now they have to throw him in there because Roethlisberger's arm fell off, and he's winning games. You know what? He can hit Chase Claypool on the seam. Why not? And it worked for him. So we could see what Kyle Trask do. But you're right, probably third rounder guy, mid round guy.
I think so.
Something, if you could get him on Saturday, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, if you get him somewhere, I mean, if he falls to the fourth round, feel real good. You know, you got yourself a competitor, you got yourself a guy that's willing to sit and learn and improve, who may never be ready for the NFL game, but, you know, seems to understand the flow of the game pretty well and can probably win you one out of five games if he has to.
All right, so we got one more quarterback to discuss this this week's podcast. We try to not just sit at the top of the rounds of the first round guys, or, you know, just good top seven to give you that. So this guy's a little mid round guy, but who are we going to discuss?
We are going to talk about a Texas quarterback named Sam Ellinger.
Sam Ellinger. This is a shorter guy. 6'1.5" is what he's coming in at. 222 pounds.
He's like, give me that fucking half. I earned it.
And I don't think he's as short as what's his name out of Arizona out there, Kyler Murray, but he's not a tall guy either after you watch Trask and Lawrence and all them.
Yeah, I think Ellinger's one of those guys that came in as a freshman, you know, wasn't like an immediate starter as a freshman, but was a guy that was like, this team is my team now. Never really showed elite arm talent, didn't show great accuracy. Once again, he's a window guy, not even a half window guy. And I wouldn't put his arm strength as pop gun, but right. I wouldn't say I've ever been impressed by it. Obviously, he can throw a ball better than me, but, you know, he won't be – you can't find me a starter in the NFL that has a worse arm than Sam Ellinger. It doesn't happen.
You're right. What's tough is, I mean, watching the people that we watched, and I got to him last, was like, oh, I can definitely tell a difference in arm strength, just the accuracy and the velocity on those throws. It's like, okay, there's a difference here. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can feel it. You know, we're talking about guys with NFL caliber arms until now. Sam does not have it. That being said, he showed excellent anticipation. Mm-hmm. He would, while he's not throwing to like tight windows, he could be like, I'm going to throw to this spot in the field and really hope you get there. Great leader on the field, ton of experience as a starter, an able-bodied runner, not a super fast guy, you know, not a particularly like, he's not Mike Allstott either, but he's a good stocky body. He's willing to run. He's willing to put his fucking head down and do his fucking thing. And he shows good, you know, tenacity and panache. My actual comparable, what the fuck is the kid, the name out of New Orleans, the backup in New Orleans?
Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill? Taysom Hill?
He reminded me of a Taysom Hill with a worse arm, which is not, that's not what you want from Taysom Hill. He's a less athletic, less accurate Taysom Hill.
Somebody said like a Tebow thing, and I think that's because of his fiery leadership and those running style and stuff. I thought he read the defense, looked good, and good pocket poise. There was a lot of times where the rush was coming and didn't seem to phase him type of thing, so I like that. And he can break tackles when he runs too, which is kind of surprising. I put him down for his comparison, and I had to kind of combine this. His passing more of like Marcus Mariota. Not so much as running, because Mariota's a little more shifty. His running more of like a young Matt Stafford when he came into the league.
I like that comparison. They actually went to the same high school, too.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, it's like that. I'm going to get this shit done. I'll go get the first down kind of thing, lower my head and go, you know,
because I have to.
Yeah, because I have to kind of thing. But
I've got to do it this way.
Yeah, but his passing, you know, was just okay kind of stuff. So I wrote that in there. Could this guy be a starter in the NFL? You don't see that?
No, I don't. And so I think one of the things that's actually problematic for him is his leadership characteristics. This is going to sound weird. Because he is a Tim Tebow leadership type, because he is like a Drew Brees leadership type, you get him into the locker room with a starter who maybe isn't that leader guy.
This guy's louder.
you're going to create problems. You're going to have a less talented individual who's like a fucking yipey dog.
Yeah.
And do not take that as a negative knock on Sam Ellinger. You've got to be that way.
Especially
that's what you want from a quarterback. But I think if you put him in the quarterback room with a weak personality quarterback, it could create long-term problems for your starter. Because this is a guy that would go out on the practice field every day, compete his ass off, and not be as talented.
Mm-hmm.
This is the sort of guy that I would love to see maybe get taken in the sixth round, go be like a practice squad QB for a team with an established starter, and people go, wow, I can't wait until this guy's career is up. He can become a head coach or a fucking offensive coordinator, because I think that's where he'd be best suited. Doesn't have the talent to play in the NFL long term. I still think he deserves to get drafted. He deserves to be on somebody's roster, put together enough of a career at Texas that he deserves it.
Yeah.
But it's not a guy that I'm like, is Sam Ellinger active? Yeah. Like, if Sam Ellinger is active, there's a problem on your team.
Here's the thing, though, that could really help him, and unfortunately, in the recent history or future, it's not going to be. I think of when I was watching Vikings preseason games and Kyle Sloter gets a chance and he's out there winning games at the last second against the third stringers. Sam Ellinger could do that, but there's no preseason game soon. There's nothing. Yeah. And they're going to be pulling those away as more NFLPA contracts come in and stuff too, where they're like, well, we don't want to play preseason games. And these are the guys that are going to look great because, you know, on TV competition against maybe not the best guys, those are going to be the ones that shine, the tryhards.
The problem was Sam Ellinger showed up in the Senior Bowl this year and he was fucking bad.
Oh no.
And well, it totally makes sense that he would be. He's a guy that needs to know his team. He needs to, I need to know the color of your pubes. You know, he's that sort of guy that, like, we got to have that intimate knowledge.
That's quite, yeah.
Well, he's a leader, Scott. You wouldn't know, you're not a leader. You got to be.
Turns out I don't.
Yeah, turns out I don't want any leadership capabilities. You shove this. Let me see the top of it. But that's the sort of guy. Like, he's just, anytime you see these interviews with him, he's just like, yeah, fucking mad dog. And you're all like, right. I wish you were better. If you were better, you'd be a second round pick.
Yep. No, this conversation has led me to believe we are at the end of our show. But here's the quarterbacks, folks. For what watching this week has told me is I am super excited for this draft. I can't wait to see where these guys go. Who's going to get shots? Because there's a lot of QBs up and moving around this offseason, and most of that moving around should be done by the time this draft comes up. I assume Deshaun Watson will be dealt. I assume Russell Wilson will quiet down, and I assume, I'm never going to assume anything that the Bears will do there. They got pick 20.
Yeah.
They need to go looking for a QB. They can't
take Sam Ellinger in the first round.
Hey, man, why not? Because we just told you why not. But that's our show this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will keep this going next week with more prospects. Dan, why don't you give the people our position groups?
We are going to be talking about wide receivers and cornerbacks. No, we're not going to do quarterbacks again. I'm not talking about Felipe Franks next week. We're talking about wide receivers. We're talking about CBs, baby, beginning of the secondary. I have a pretty good feeling we're going to have an elite grade, at least one elite grade, come out of next week. So I'm really looking forward to the scouting this week.
There's a couple of star wide receiver names already, and there's some shutdown corners, too, that I can't wait to take a look at, because Zimmer loves taking cornerbacks, and it's about time to take some more.
I don't need any wide receivers in Dallas, but I could probably use a corner or two.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so yeah, that's next week. Wide receivers and cornerbacks will be back next week with a whole new list of other prospects for you to get excited about. So if you are a Cincinnati Bengals fan, you're listening to us talking about quarterbacks that you got last year, now get excited because you guys could take one of these wide receivers there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who knows? Right, yep. Yeah. Team them back up with Joe. That'd be a blast. Okay, well, that's our show. Thank you guys for listening. We do the show every week. It's right there at thepushoff.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. Check out all the great shows at universehead.com. All right, Dan, crazy stat time.
Yeah.
I only got one, but it is from one of your elites. Tristan Wirfs. Tristan Wirfs, just last year, his rookie year, played in every snap of the season. Only player of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to not miss a snap. And only allowed one sack and one penalty.
Do you know who you allowed that sack to?
No, you had that stat? Who is it?
Khalil Mack.
Ah, Khalil Mack for the Bears.
If you're going to give up a sack, giving it up to Khalil Mack's not really embarrassing.
That was a loss to the Bears, yeah, that the Bucks had in Chicago. That was the infamous, don't we get fourth down? Time. All right, that's our show. Unless you want to spend 20 minutes talking about how much we love Tom Brady here at the end, because we love him.
Thanks, Garrett. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Yes, of course.
Yeah, no, we're all done talking about quarterbacks for at least the next month and a half.
Yeah, I don't know. If Russell Wilson gets moved, we'll have some things to talk about next week.
Fair.
All right, guys, that's our show for this week. Dan, parting words of wisdom.
Yeah, this is the time of year for you not to get waylaid by the desserts. Start really looking into those positions of need that you have. You're going to be listening to the Push Out Podcast for at least the foreseeable future. Bring us your own dishes to the main menu. If you want to talk with us about why we gave a guy a certain grade or why we feel a certain way, get in there. Check out the film. See if you see what we see, or see if you've got a difference of opinion. Let us know.
Dan's got an idea of the players he wants to look at this draft. I'm sure of it. But if you are a listener who's also a fan of a college team and there's a good wide receiver or some positional player out there that you're kind of interested in our opinion on, you want to get our ear to maybe make those one of the players we talk about on this show, very open to doing that. Yeah. So I like that, too. Yeah. Get in touch with us and let us know. Hey, keep your eye on this, guard this year that played for South Carolina. I like him. Like, okay, I'll give him a look.
A buddy of mine last year, after we did our safety draft, he's like, what do you think of Jeremy Chinn? I was like, I didn't even look at him. He's like, let me know what you think. And I looked at him, I was like, fuck, he should have been in the show. And he was basically a potential rookie of the year candidate.
Yes.
We miss stuff sometimes. If you got a guy that you're hot on, let us know.
Yes. All right. That's our show for this week. Thanks so much for joining us for another episode. I am Scott.
This is Dan.
Enjoy your week. We will be back next week. Goodbye.